Dave is a talented man. Praise the Lord. Thank you for using it to encourage us and for the Lord. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. If you have a tablet or an app on your phone, you can turn your Bible on to Philippians 4. And I like the summer months. This season, we're going to begin going through, and for the entire season, going through the book of Mark together, the Gospel of Mark. Remarkable book. I think Mark is the best book in the Bible, but be doing that this season. But yeah, for obvious reasons. And but this summer, I love having the opportunity to just touch on things that aren't necessarily part of a series, but I think are just special to me. I think special for all of our lives. And Philippians 4, 6, and 7, very familiar passage to many of us. If you're a numbers person, you hear that reference, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and it might hit you. For others, it's going to hit you when you first begin hearing the words. But such an encouragement to us. Today, calling the message, The Problem with Problems. The Problem with Problems. And I'd like to suggest to you today with that title that we all face problems. That's a problem. But more importantly, how we face our problems is a problem. And God gives us His Word and His instruction in how to face problems well. Now, I think that this subject of problems is universal. Everybody can relate. Today, if I took a survey, said, how many of us have a problem today? A lot of us could raise our hand. And by the way, if you don't have a problem, just wait. One's coming. Well, that's really encouraging, Pastor Mark. I really appreciate you saying that. But, you know, I know just that word problem, and sometimes folks have a problem even saying problem. And I understand if you want to call it a challenge, a difficulty, something to rise over. I understand. But I just want to be blunt and say, I got problems. And God in His Word tells me how to address them, what to do in response. Culture, of course, speaks loudly and clearly to the area of problems. And I think music certainly can sort of give us a sense of camaraderie and comfort amidst challenges we face that others do as well. It can be helpful when someone says, just, well, I've gone through that or I face that. I don't know, any kind of music that addresses the subject of problems more accurately and succinctly than country western music. Am I right? Country western. Not putting it down. Not saying anything bad. We have Stagecoach out here every year and all the rest. I'm just saying it gets right to the nitty-gritty of life. And these are actual song titles or lyrics from current country western songs. We don't have a lot of time this morning. I'll just give you a couple. First, true country western song lyrics, I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. It's real lyrics from a current country. The guy's got a problem, so... These are actual lyrics from current country western song. My head hurts, my feet stink, and I don't love you anymore. That's not good. It's not good. How about this one? I don't know whether to kill myself or go bowling. Now, I hope you'd be encouraged if you're thinking of doing yourself harm today, but sometimes it helps a little to laugh about it. And then, again, we don't have a lot of time. Just one more. Real lyrics from a country western song. You're the reason our kids are so ugly. I love that. I just love that. I honestly prayed our daughter would look like my wife when she was in the womb. I was, please, God, don't let her look like me. So what is it for you when I say that mammoth whopper of a word, problem? Maybe it's health. Or finances, or your career, or a significant relationship in your life. I don't know. I'm certainly not trying to stir up hard feelings or kind of unleash strong emotion this morning. But you see, even when we get beyond our personal problems, we're reminded constantly that we all have group problems together as well. And a recent survey was done asking the simple question, what is the biggest problem of the modern world? Some of the leading responses, of course, would not surprise you. Terrorism, poverty, globalization, organized crime. And, you know, when I check my news feed on my phone and I flip on international news and all the rest, we know England's going through Brexit, and now they're wondering if France is going to do Frexit, and on it's going to go. We've got Greece, who's been down so long, I don't know when they're going to get up again. God bless them in Greece, what a great little country. We've got China with massive flooding. We've got constant unrest in the Middle East, Germany with the recent shootings, and you know, meanwhile, we're having the Republican and Democratic conventions, you know. And God bless America. And I think we really need to pray for our country and for godly leadership at a time like this in our land. So simply to say that I think it's a topic that applies clearly to us all. And that should resonate in our spirits, that sometimes we feel like we're the only one going through things, or we're the only one. And I just want to remind you today, brother, sister in the Lord, we all face struggle. We can never predict when it'll come. We don't get a choice, you know, which card to take, so to speak, in terms of the problems. And God's word in a moment is going to remind us that the natural, may I call it, knee-jerk response in life, which we all have to problems, is the same. We naturally resort to worry, to worry. And these things called problems weigh on us, and they cry out for response. And we wonder, what will I do? And then worry begins. Now, if you were to look up the word worry today for its definition, it's described as thinking about problems or unpleasant things which might happen in a way that makes you feel anxious. Now, enter the book of Philippians, the word of God to us, the most encouraging of all the epistles, or in other words, the love letters to the churches, the early church, penned under inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul. And it's A.D. 60 to 62. And Paul, in chapter 4 of Philippians alone, makes such amazing statements that God has given. Things like, rejoice in the Lord always. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And in the middle of this, we find our passage this morning in verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4. And allow me, if I may, to read to you from the Living Bible paraphrase. And the Living Bible, I believe, just captures the essence of God's word here so wonderfully in a very relational manner. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to look into the issue of problems and how to face them, I need a very relational God. So here we go. God says to you today, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, this is our takeout verse of the week. It's on a small card in the lobby for you on the tables, or you can pick one up at Connecting Place at the counters, Philippians 4, the beginning of verse 6. And it's so brief and succinct and to the point, we could all memorize this, folks. We could all memorize it in the next couple of days. And you know, studies have shown if you just repeat a phrase like that in a very short period of time, it will be committed to memory. Why do I want you to memorize this? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Because today we're going to be talking together about developing and maintaining your spiritual reflex to problems. All right? So hang on to that thought. Now, isn't it interesting immediately what we see in the text this morning before we continue with it? That God takes our lives and he turns them around on a dime. We saw it first at the cross of Jesus Christ, where our sin and our guilt was turned into loving forgiveness.
And then at the rising again of Christ on the third day with the empty tomb, we saw our damnation before God and the hopelessness of an eternity of hell turned into the promise of eternal salvation. So now when we get down to the nitty-gritty of life, and that's what today's message is about. It's about the nitty-gritty. Because if you don't have a religion, if you don't have a faith that can handle the nitty-gritty of life, then what do you have at all? You've got nothing. And today, God immediately takes the leading challenge of our existence here on planet Earth, our problems, and he turns them around on a dime, and he says, don't worry anymore. Instead, pray. Pray. Let's go on. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Do you see just the flipping, the total opposite direction given to the text here? Tell God your needs. Now, God knows already, doesn't he? But he wants you to tell him. He wants you to enter into a life relationship and talk to him about what you're facing. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Implied in that text is that God's going to answer you, my friend. Don't you forget to thank him for it when he does. If you do this. Now, that statement means that sadly not every believer does it. But if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Notice you get it before the problem is solved. You get it before the answer is manifested. You receive God's peace and his healing in your spirit regarding what you're facing before solution is realized visibly before you. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts. See, you can meditate. Hey, I'm just going to kind of flush out the worries of my life. You know, hey, what comes around goes around. It's all good. But that's the peace you can try to work up. I'm not talking about that. The passage is saying getting God's peace. It is a powerful peace above and beyond anything else you can ever attain or achieve. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts. Notice both your mind and your spirit will be solidified and reconciled and at rest in him. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Because praying to God about your problems means trusting him with them. That's what it means to do. The Amplified Translation notes, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. So God says, don't worry. So to solve this automatic human reflex we have to worry, and hey, there's plenty of stuff you can start worrying about in our world today, I think we have to go back and really look at the problem that we have, humanly speaking, with problems. Because remember, God never intended for us to have this struggle in life. Sin brought this into the world. And it's easy to point fingers and say, well, they did it, or that leader did it, or this situation did it. But the fact is, we all face hardship. And if I had a whiteboard here, I think I could just kind of diagram what God's saying here. He's saying problems equal worry. In the flesh, it's our natural knee-jerk reaction to problems. Problems equal worry. And what God is saying, change that. Make it so that problems equal prayer. problems equal prayer. Now, just kind of wake up or nudge your neighbor. If you get anything out of it this morning, that's the heart of the point here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Then the Apostle Paul goes on to explain the benefits of doing that, to further encourage and motivate us, to foster, develop, and maintain this new spiritual reflex in our lives. But the heart of it is, make prayer the natural outcome of facing problems. Now, as one commentator put it, God wants us to turn our worries into prayers. And how about that infamous statement from the Apollo 13 space mission? Houston, we have a problem. They had a whopper of a problem. It's a miracle they ever got back, isn't it? You know, you can call your problems whatever you want. I say respectfully. I understand. For me, I just got to lay it out there. And there are many times in my life I just have to say, Houston, we have a problem. And this morning I want to say to you, I really believe with all my spirit that this is where we back up and begin the process of developing and cultivating the spiritual reflex of responding with prayer to our problems rather than worry. It's to begin to admit our problem with problems. Admit it. In other words, acknowledge you got a problem and that you have a problem in how you deal with it. You know, it's very interesting. Ask anyone who's ever been a part of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and where does it all begin? Admitting you have a problem. How do you commit things to God in prayer until you admit you need His help? And why do you need His help if you're not willing to admit? It's because you have a problem. So I think in my exhaustive study of this subject in Scripture and really analyzing the challenging issues regarding it, I've come to three rather complex, radical conclusions. Let me share them with you. Number one, problems are no fun. That's the first great insight I've developed over the years. I think that's why it's hard to talk about, so I just try to say a little tongue-in-cheek today. Okay, so don't get panicked. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. Problems remind us that life has a struggle to it. And I think for most of us as rational adults, we want to escape the struggle. And it's amazing how we will work and invest money and seek profitable relationships and try to leverage situations in our lives. Whatever we can do to get out from under problems and just be at rest. And we will spend all the money we have, and we will leverage all the relationships we can, sometimes in healthy, sometimes in very unhealthy ways. And we will pursue entertainment, one of the main things we do in the United States, all to seek to avoid suffering and pain. And I believe what God says to us today is, shh, shh, stop it. Just come to me with what you face. Shh, just stop it and come to me. And that's our message this morning. Problems are no fun. It's an unpleasant thing to talk about. It's an unpleasant thing to think upon. Certainly, many challenges of life are unfair. They challenge our internal sense of justice. And so it's easy to want to ignore them or deny them. We'll talk about that in a moment. But problems are no fun, I understand. Secondly, problems lead naturally to worry. They just do. And as we're figuring our options and sort of processing what we're up against, worry just kind of boop magically appears. And we begin to say, well, what if? And what should I? And when will I? And how will it? And I think we can come so accustomed to problems that we actually can fall into the rut of not being comfortable without having a few to chew on. And we can even get to a point where we sort of delight in other people's problems, maybe in some way of saying, well, I'm glad they're facing it and I'm not. I don't know. So problems lead to worry. And then, of course, the third thought, we all know where this is going. Scripture tells us worrying is bad. Worrying is bad. It is unhealthy. Let's just talk about the physical ramifications of it from a scientific standpoint. We know that worry produces higher levels of stress. Stress is one of the key ways to lower your lifespan, to lower your quality of life, to have medical complications in your health. It produces higher blood pressure, anxiety. It leads to depression and unusefulness. And what did Jesus say about worry? He said, who can add a single moment to their life by worrying? He's saying to you and me, worrying is completely unprofitable. Completely unprofitable. Just remember that. Worrying also diverts us because then we start focusing on the problems rather than how God wants to use us, how he wants to bless us, how he wants to help us. Now, I don't say that judgmentally. Hey, I've been under my rocks in life too. I'm just here to say that God wants to give us victory to get over our problems, our situations of life, which are all temporary, rather than to be crushed underneath them. Because when you're under them, you get your eyes off God, and it robs you of your peace and your joy and your love of life. How many of us have ever just wanted to die? I have. But you see, then God renews my spirit. He gives me hope. And he tells me, no, I'm going to lift your load. And he does. We have such a loving, remarkable God. So we need to begin there, I believe, in admitting that there's a problem with problems. It's more than just the problem, folks. That's what I'm trying to say in an acute way. It's more than just the problem. It's how we address it where the stinking thinking really starts to come in. That's kind of cheesy. I don't know if I can say that, but anyway, I just did. You really can't take it back once you say it. Secondly, the Lord's saying in the text, we need to face our problem with problems. In other words, if we're honest enough to admit, and God's word is truth, why would he put this in Scripture if he didn't know we would face problems? So that tells us that coming to believe in Christ, loving the Lord, living for him, trying to honor the Lord with your life, trying to live a holy life set apart for the Lord, trying to please the Lord in aspects, trying to reflect Jesus Christ in your life, doing all that, you're still going to have problems. That's what Scripture says, because we're being told here how to address problems, okay? So we admit that problems are part of the life cycle. We have no choice over which ones we face. So the question now is, how do we face the problem of having problems? And I think there are just two ways to do it, and that's what Scripture's telling us. It is cut crystal clear for us here, black and white. We can either face our problems as believers in Christ in the natural or in the supernatural. Those are the only two options. And don't be deceived, believer. You can be a believer in Christ. You can be seeking to honor the Lord in your life and still be handling your problems the wrong way. It's so easy to do. So easy to do. It's automatic. Let's talk about facing problems in the natural. One of the books by best-selling author Dale Carnegie, of course, was the author of How to Win, Make Friends and Influence People, remarkable book. But he wrote another book called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And it had many good little tips from the natural about how to face problems in your life. He called them secret concepts, and they're titled in the different chapters. Things like living one day at a time, very spiritual principle. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own, so that's an important spiritual principle. Getting over the small stuff. We can fixate on things, think they're bigger than they really are. Very good point. But you see, if Dale had come to me and said, Mark, would you help me write this book? I got to tell you, I could have made this thing really easy because Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is the answer. I'm not trying to oversimplify. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just telling you, What you want to print on every page of that book about how to stop worrying and start living is just really put it in about font 120-point size on every page. Guess what? Pray. That's what the text is telling us. The way you stop worrying and you start living is you pray. Not think about praying, not have a good attitude about praying, not believe in the importance of praying, not have a theology that says praying is important, but pray. Pray. We often try to counteract worry in such natural ways. For instance, perhaps at times you've misinterpreted Philippians 4:6 like I have at times in my life. And if you had to read the verse the way you were living your life, it would say, don't worry about anything. Instead, avoid everything. You ever done that? I have. Denial. Hey, it's all good. It'll all come back. Everything's cool. Just chill. Well, guess what? Everything's not cool. And the world's not right. So don't avoid everything. Secondly, don't worry about anything. Spin everything. Oh, it's not so bad. Sometimes it is bad. You know? I hate to say it, but usually I will say, you know, if I'm coming to visit you in the hospital, things are probably pretty bad. Because I have a very busy schedule. If I'm coming over to Eisenhower to Desert Medical or something and coming to see you, it's probably because you're facing a whopper. That's okay. God's in the whopper business. Or how about this, where you misinterpret Scripture, don't worry about anything, instead finance everything. Just throw money at the problem, you know? Buy your way out. Or don't worry about anything, instead forget everything. Hey, everybody should take care of themselves. I'm just going to live my own life. Don't bother me. What a lonely existence. But I can tell you something. I understand why unbelievers drink too much and use all manner of drugs and all the rest of it and denial and all the rest. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. You know what? If you don't have a living God who will get on the job for you regarding the tough stuff of life, and some of you today, my friends, God bless you, you're facing tough stuff. If you don't have a living God who will come by your side and intervene, you got nothing. No wonder people drink. No wonder people medicate. No wonder people deny, because they've got nothing. How sad. Let me tell you something, believer. If you don't have a living, abiding relationship with your God, if you don't believe your God can intervene and do the impossible for you, that he won't come through for you, that he's not listening to you, that he's not interested in what concerns you, then I'd say you got no religion at all. You got nothing. Because I want to tell you, the God I know, he works in my life. He takes notice of what concerns me. And you know what? The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. He accepts men from every nation. That means that all of us can be God's favorite. Don't buy the lie that God's not listening to you, that God's not interested in you, that if you go to church enough, then he'll help you. If you give enough, then he'll help you. If you serve the Lord in ministry, then he'll help you. That's garbage. He just loves you, and he's waiting to help you now. But don't you tell him what to do. You just talk to him and give your problems to him. You know, there are times in life when people saying, oh, it's not so bad, look on the bright side. It's not true. Sometimes there's not a bright side. That's when you need to look to the bright one, Jesus Christ, who can turn your night into day. The Bible says weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Only your living God, believer, can do that. I can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. Only God can do it. See, isn't it interesting? It's so tempting when we face hardship to go immediately to our friends, Hey, you got to help me. You got to encourage me. And of course, Scripture is important. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. It's important to encourage and lift up each other. But let me tell you something. Believer, if you're going to your friends first, you got it wrong. Stop it. You're commanded. You're not just told. You're commanded in Scripture where you go with your problems, you go to God immediately. You go to Him. Because He's the one with all the power and all the authority and all the help that you desperately need. And then your friends, God will use them to continue to bolster your faith, to continue to encourage you as you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But you always start with God. So let's talk about facing problems in the supernatural rather than the natural, and that's where we're going today. Duke University did a study of 4,000 people, and in their study of over 4,000 people, they found 64 of them who prayed regularly. And what they found is the 64 who prayed regularly had lower blood pressure by a significant margin over the remaining ones in their study. And so even in this very secular study, they concluded that prayer was a good idea. Now, they didn't really discuss whether they thought prayer was genuine or whether it really reached in an almighty creator, but just the concept of prayer in their conclusion said it was a good idea. I want to tell you something today. I'm not here to talk to you about just a cathartic experience of kind of releasing your problems into the atmosphere. I'm not telling you to go out in nature and commune with nature to feel better about your life situations. I'm here to tell you there is a living God in heaven who made you, who sustains you, and who is intimately interested in what happens to you. And He is waiting, He is longing for you to come to Him and say, God, help me. Because no one else will do. That's what He calls us to. This is where the theory of our faith stops and the reality kicks in. I want to say this, so here it is, listen to this. If you can't lean on your God to help you in life, what kind of religion have you got? That's by definition who God is, the Almighty One you go to for help in life. It's part of the reason you worship Him, because He's there for you. It's part of the relationship you enjoy with the Almighty. So don't rob yourself of thinking that Christ has saved you, God has forgiven you, and now He's way off in heaven saying, you know, hey, just kind of muster through life the best you can, and someday I'll be glad if you look me up when you get here. He's with you all the time. And He's ready to help you now. The typical equation we face is we want to solve our problems to end our worry. Isn't that true? That's the natural inclination. If I can just have these problems solved, my worry will be over. And so that's why we pray to tell God what we want Him to do. And what does God say in His word here? He says, just commit your problems to me and let me handle it. And I'll give you peace and assurance before the problem's even done. See, I'm not interested in telling you technically to pray. I'm interested in telling you, live your faith. It says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, it's been an interesting month. In our own lives, my Sherry had a fall, and she ended up hurting her ankle pretty badly, and we just got the MRI results Friday, and looks like there may be some tendon damage and that kind of thing. But the biggest challenge she's got right now is she's got to keep her foot elevated all the time. So we had to cancel vacation plans. You just got to stay at home, keep her foot up. She can go out for about 20 minutes, but then she's got to get home, just elevate the foot. So last night our daughter got home from a trip, had a great time, but she ended up falling on a rock at the beach, breaking her toe. The whole nail was pulled off, and I was in emergency with her till 3:30 in the morning last night before I came here to preach.
And the nurse said, hey, do you want a note for work tomorrow? Because my daughter said, he's got to work tomorrow. And the nurse said, do you want a note? I said, no, I'm the boss. Here's the thing. Problems, right? Problems. I was sitting right over here in this pew, right over here, just a couple months ago. It was in season. I remember it. I remember it in my mind's eye so clearly. It was Sunday morning. The choir was leading in worship. The worship band was standing all around, getting ready to do another song as soon as choir had finished. And as I was sitting there, suddenly it hit me. Because I know many of these people personally. You just do. You know, you're doing ministry together. And it suddenly hit me. I need to pray for that. And so I'm sitting there praying as the choir is singing for this person in the choir that they're facing regarding their job, and they need employment, and they're getting ready to go into a job interview. And then I thought, wait, there's another one that also needs work, and I'm praying for them. Then I'm thinking, well, I've got to pray for that person who's going in for surgery this week. They're singing in choir. They're getting ready to go in for surgery that week. I'm praying for someone else who's sick and someone else whose spouse is sick. And then I'm thinking about the worship band and some of the things they're going through, and I'm saying, God bless them for surgery. Lord, please bless them for serving you, even in the middle of the tough stuff they're facing. Here's the point. We're all facing stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. And you never know what others are going through around you. You never know. And yet, what does God give us to hang on to in the middle of the struggle of life here on planet Earth? He doesn't give us a 200-page book of principles to follow. He says to us, pray. Now, that's a God I can get into, because that's at my level. Okay, I got to pray. Prayer is our connecting point with God in the day-to-day of life. It's talking to our heavenly dad and giving over our concerns to him. There was a guy by the name of Charles Fuller. I've got his picture in my office along with several other guys who inspire me a lot in ministry. And Charles Fuller came to know the Lord as a young man. He was living in Orange County back in the days of the orange groves. His dad was a very successful orange tree grower, a farmer. And Charles inherited a wonderful orange grove estate in Orange County. He sold it all after he came to know Christ, so that he could travel into L.A. on a regular basis and commute from Orange County to L.A., so he could study the Bible, get a theological degree. And then in the early days of radio, Charles Fuller was one of the pioneers in Christian radio ministry. And he began a little show every Sunday night that went coast to coast out of Long Beach, California, called the Old Fashioned Revival Hour. And every week, Charles would get on the radio. He wasn't a speaker. He'd just get in and chat with people. People would say that it was as if you were sitting in his living room talking to him personally. And he would explain the Gospels and how you could come to know Jesus Christ personally and receive him into your life. He shared the good news. Now, when this went coast to coast, he only had one choice: either get off the radio completely or pay the bill for the new ramped up expense of being coast to coast. And he decided after prayer that God wanted him to do it, but he didn't have the money for it. And so what he used to do, you can read about it in his biography, he would take his Bible and he would say, God, this represents the burden I face. I believe you want me to tell these people about you. I believe you've called me to do it. I believe you've opened this door of opportunity, but I can't afford to do it. Would you take this burden of the need and would you handle it? And he just set the Bible on the mantle in his house over the fireplace as an act of reminding himself he was giving his problem to God. And then every time he saw his Bible on the mantle, he would just remember, don't take it up. That's God's now. Friends, some of us need to give our problems to God today and take our hands off of them. Let him carry your load. Let him carry your load. And let him give you, in exchange for your load, peace and joy and assurance that, frankly, nobody in this world will ever understand. That's what the text is saying to us today. In other words, it is time to readdress our problem with problems. See, I got a problem with problems. I don't like them. I want to get rid of them. I want to figure them out. And God says, that's not how you do it, Mark. You commit them to me and let me give you the peace and assurance that I am on the job. Now, I know time's up, but I just can't quit the message this morning without just saying this. We need to go to God with our concerns and then trust that He's going to hear us and respond. And we need to turn them over to Him, even as Charles Fuller did with the challenges of life he faced. We need to remember that problems are not God's fault. And we need to remember, no matter how big our problem, God is infinitely bigger. And we need to realize that problems are always temporary. And that in God's economy, He can do anything to solve them. You say to me, well, Mark, you don't understand the problems I'm facing. And you're right. I probably don't. And I'm sorry. For some of you who are facing whoppers today, I'm so sorry. All I can tell you is that when I'm tempted not to trust God and not to pray, the thing that helps me do Philippians 4:6 to receive the benefits of verse 7 is this: get shored up in the Lord and get a new confidence in Him. That's why I put some scripture references right in the notes today. We'll put them on the screen right now. And let's flip up those references real quick, John, at the very end. Listen to some of these golden nuggets. If you're struggling today, if you're facing something tough, if you're not sure God can handle it, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will raise us up through His power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God does not exist in words, but in power. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? 1 Corinthians 15:57, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:20, Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to His mighty work, which is at work within us. Hebrews 10:23, Let us hold fast to our confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, But the Lord is faithful, who will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And Isaiah 59:1, Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that He cannot save, nor His ear so dull that it cannot hear. Do you sense God's spirit of hope rising in you regarding the things you face? Write in your Bible. Take notes. Keep track of verses like this that lift your spirit and point you back to the God who loves you and can accomplish for you everything you need. Because you see, if religion is nothing more than believing some principles, you've got nothing. I'm talking to you about the living God. And you see, problems are the opportunity to feel God's hand on your back, pushing you to step up to the throne of God and to make your request. And then to leave it there and step back and watch what God will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I pray for those who are facing very tough stuff. And God, we thank You that throughout Your word, we see evidence of You answering prayer in the lives of believers. Thank You, God, that You are a working, powerful, loving, full of grace and mercy God, that You care so much for each of us in a personal way, and that You are intimately acquainted with everything that concerns us. Thank You, God, that when we are weak, You are strong. And thank You, God, that when we are poor, You are rich. And Lord, I pray for the ones struggling today. Would You lift their spirit, encourage them, and help them to give it to You and just let go. Lord, trusting You is an active thing we do. It's not a passive thing. It's not a giving up. It's giving in. And Lord, I pray we do that regarding everything we face, for You are greater and mightier and more wonderful than it all. And today we worship You. And Lord, we will be mindful to never forget to stop and thank You
for what you do. For you are worthy. And so we praise and thank you today in advance for what you will do on our behalf. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Would you stand? We'll close in a prayer. If you'd like prayer today, maybe someone you know in your life who needs prayer, just come on up at the end of service. We'll be here. We'd love to pray with you. Hang around, meet somebody new. Now may God bless you. May he keep you. May God make his face shine on you. May God be generous to you, give you his peace, and may you find in him all of the power and love and hope you'd ever need. Amen.